Out of all the services throughout the year, this service is always one of the highlights to me, just to be together and celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ is born. Amen? And that is our celebratory song today, that he is born. Luke chapter 1, for just a few moments together this morning, Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26. It says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And thou shalt, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and everyone together, and thou shalt call his name
Jesus.
He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I'm a virgin, in other words, and I've kept myself chaste and pure. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." Aren't you glad for that this morning? "With God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Verse 38 simply says, "And Mary, in response to the message of the angel, said, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Let me share with you an observation that I've made about life. And I'm sure that many of you have made that same observation. That is that the bad things in life seem to come uninvited, while the good seldom comes without invitation. I've never once had on my day planner, you know, you're going to have a sore throat. I've never had on my day planner, you're going to have a fender bender. I've never had on my day planner some of the hard and difficult things that happen in life. They just seem to come your way. They come uninvited. Whereas the good seldom seems to come any one of our ways without giving invitation to it. Now, God's message delivered by the angel Gabriel then was not a command to Mary. It was an opportunity that was being offered to her. It was an incredible opportunity. You see, Mary could choose either to accept or to reject this opportunity that God was sending her way. God made no demand upon her will. She could say no to the whole plan and simply walk away. However, had she done so, what a personal loss it would have been to Mary. For she would have missed out on the highest plan and the highest will of God for her life. There is an author from the UK that wrote a little piece on his life, and he says this, "There is another life that I may have had, but I'm living this one." You know, I think all of us, we'll all try to find, apart from God at times, joy and happiness and fulfillment and our purpose for being, but we'll only find the highest plan and the highest will for our life when we're living it for God. Now, Mary had been handpicked by God himself. You know, had God chose to line up some kind of a competition for the position of mother of the Messiah, I can only imagine those who would have come to sign up. The field of applicants probably would have looked a lot like the contestants from America's Got Talent, or maybe from The Apprentice or from The Bachelorettes. Only the unfit would have considered themselves worthy of the position of bearing God's only begotten Son. You see, Mary was handpicked by God Himself. God knew her purity. God knew that she had sexually kept herself pure and chaste, not only for her husband, but for God as well. God knew her heart, that she had a heart for God. And I'm sure there are many, many conversations that Mary had as even a young girl with God. And as God would begin to relate to her that she had, you know, a very important position in the kingdom and that God was going to allow her to be a part of something really big, God knew Mary's heart. God also knew Mary's humility. Mary was neither self-assuming nor was she self-promoting. It says in verse 28, "And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women." Let's take that phrase by phrase for just a moment. First of all, when Gabriel greets her, he says, "Hail." Now, this would not be unique to this particular situation. You'll find that that was often one of the greetings on the street. It would be, "Hail," and then they would have conversation one with another. But what was unique about the word that is used here, it is not just some kind of a common good morning greeting. It's literally the angel was saying when he said, "Hail, joy be with you." Mary, accept this plan of God and there's going to be great joy for you. God's joy. Aren't you glad for the joy of the Lord? You know, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the message of the angel was, "Hail, God's going to give you great joy, Mary. Thou art highly favored. You are an honored one in heaven. You have a special place in God's heart." Matter of fact, Campbell, he translates that phrase this way, "You're the favorite of heaven." Friend, wouldn't you like to be the favorite of heaven? And I believe that each and every one of you are. I believe that God has a unique place for every one of us and a place that only we can fulfill. And when we are in the center of God's will, we're going to find joy. We're going to find we're favored, and we're going to find that we are special in the place of heaven. "Blessed art thou amongst women," the Bible says. Mary, you've been handpicked by God Himself. Now, I want you to notice here Mary's response. In verse 29, Mary responds by saying, "And when she saw him," that is the angel, "she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be." So now she's scratching her head. What is this angel saying? Is he saying what I think he is saying? If so, I have a lot of questions in my mind. Think about it for a moment. Mary was given the right of first refusal to be a key player in the most incredible, one-time, never-to-be-repeated event in the whole of world or human history. Friends, God's choice was neither careless nor was it haphazard. God chose Mary very carefully out of all the people on planet Earth. Now, I want you to notice Mary's response. Mary's response was both immediate, but it was also irreversible. That which she was promising herself to be, the mother of God's own Son, it is going to be immediate, but it'll also be an irrevocable decision. Look at verse 38. "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And then the angel departed from her." That phrase, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord," it is literally, it's a slave or a servant. And so Mary responds back to Gabriel, "Gabriel, if this is God's plan for my life, I know it's a great plan, though I don't understand all of it at this moment. I know that God only means good and only wants good for my life and good through my life. So if God has a great plan for my life, I will embrace it. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." The word that is actually used there is a bondslave. Now you say, what is a bondslave? A bondslave was an individual that had been under servitude to a master, maybe bought by a master, maybe it served many years under that master. And after a given period of time, oftentimes after 7 years, a master would say to the servant or to this slave, you are free to leave if you choose. And knowing the relationship and knowing how good this master had been, many of these slaves, they stayed on and they became what is called a bond slave. They would have been free to leave if they wanted to, but they chose to stay with their master out of love and out of just great reverence for them and for all that they had done for them in their life and for their family. And so Mary uses that term. Behold the handmaid. Behold the bondslave of the Lord. She would obey whatever God desired. And she makes this phrase, and I want this phrase to burn inside of your heart this season. Be it unto me according to thy word. I'm your bondslave. Be it unto me just as you said it. Let it happen in my life. Be it unto me according to thy word. Friends, though God be God, and though he is our maker, and though God is sovereign, God does not bully his will on anyone. Remember, Mary could have said no. And nothing happens with God as it did with Mary until the statement is made, be it unto me. I come in agreement with the plan of Almighty God. With these words, she completely surrendered her soul. And at that moment, she gave up the very last vestige of living for herself. She risked everything at that moment when she said, be it unto me. She risked her reputation in Nazareth. She knew that they would be whispering behind closed doors. This woman claims that this is a child from God? Sure. We all know how it works. And this is a woman that has a poor reputation. And so she puts it all on the line. She has her pending marriage with Joseph on the line. Joseph's faith and trust in her is now on the line. Her very life is on the line. You see, at this time, to be an immoral woman, to have committed adultery or fornication, she could be stoned to death. And so she's putting it all out on the line. Her reputation in Nazareth, her marriage that is pending with Joseph, Joseph's faith and trust, and her very life. Now, I assure you this morning, Mary was no fool, nor was she ignorant as to the potential ramifications of her decision when she said, be it unto me. You know what I find interesting is most Bible theologians say, at the moment that Mary said, at the instant, at that precise millisecond, when Mary said, be it unto me, in that exact moment, life was formed within her womb, and there was a quickening. Many of you women in this room right now, you've heard that term before, the quickening. The quickening is that very first little flutter of life that you sense within your womb. And most theologians believe it was instantaneous at that moment when she said, God, I am your handmaid. If you created me for this, I'm all in. And I give myself to you and to your plan. I'm your bondslave. Be it unto me. And in that very instant, there was the quickening within her womb of brand new life. And that life was the Son of God being prepared for birth. Mary was greatly blessed. Look at verse 35. It says, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of whom? Say it. Not the Son of Mary, but the Son of God. Not the Son of Joseph, but the Son of God. That's right. And Mary's invitation, the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one, all the way back from Genesis chapter 1 on, all of these promises were fulfilled in that moment. Yes, Jesus was miraculously formed within her. Now, I must confess to you this morning, that I simply do not understand the chromosomal or the biological miracle that took place at the incarnation. It's a miracle. But this I do know. Jesus was both 100% man and 100% God. He was one perfect man with two perfect natures, the human and the divine. You see, Jesus came to this world, the Bible tells us, God sent him into this world on a mission to seek and to save the lost. He came to show us the way to heaven when we were lost and living in darkness. And so Jesus came down. He took upon flesh and blood, the Bible says, so that he could be our faithful high priest. And the Bible tells us that he is seated right now at this very moment this morning at the right hand of God the Father. And you know what the Bible says he's doing there? He's interceding for us. And the Bible says he knows what it is like in all things to be tempted, tested, and tried, yet he never sinned. And he comes alongside of us. And in those moments when we're tested, when we're tried, when we're about to say, I give up, he's right there saying, don't give up. I've gone through it. I'll walk you through it. You will prevail. You will overcome. Greater is he that is within you than he that's within the world. I am with you, and I will see you through. And we can know all this to be true because he came from heaven above. He tasted of everything for us, all of life and death itself on our behalf. Incredible. Yet the whole miracle was triggered by Mary's words, be it unto me. Friends, there's no greater blessing than the blessing of being part of the exciting eternal plans of Almighty God. You see, Mary was handpicked by God, the Father himself, to receive this wonderful blessing. And everywhere you go in the world today, and you mention Mary, there's all over this world, whether it's in parts of the world where there's very little Christianity or whether there's much Christianity known in that nation of the world, you find men and women everywhere talking this weekend and talking around the clock about this woman called Mary that submitted herself. She was blessed, blessed by God, graced by God for the challenges that would face her in raising God's own son. Friend, I want you to know, Mary was handpicked by God himself for a wonderful blessing, and so are you. Mary had a willing heart. She said, be it unto me. Let me go back to where we started. The bad things in life most often come uninvited, but seldom does the good, that job promotion, that college grant, the gift that someone is offering you, it's not yours until you receive it. Marriage or whatever it is, it's all part of accepting the good that God has for us. When we say, be it unto me. Think back to your life this morning, and I think back on mine. It's just a young guy sat on the front row, about down here where Pastor Stephanie and Pastor Josh are sitting, in a home church in South Dakota. I've been raised in a family that had come to Christ, and so I had, you know, the atmosphere that was surrounding me of one of serving God. But as I sat there that day, I felt the tug of God. I heard him knocking at my heart's door, and I had to make a choice. You see, God doesn't come and break down the door of our heart. The Bible tells us he knocks at our heart's door. And I had a decision to make. The decision, will I accept Christ as the Lord of my life? Or will I continue on the path that I am on? The same would be true of the call to the ministry. I loved working with my brothers and working with my dad and working with my uncle. We worked together, we played together, we fished together, we hunted together. And I knew that if I said, yes, Lord, be it unto me, I'll be obedient if you want me in the ministry. God didn't thrust me and pull me out of the family. It was a choice I had to make. And I knew when I made that choice, I'd be living many miles away from the rest of my family. For the last 42 years, I was not once back with my family ever in 42 years to be able to spend Christmas with them. I have no regrets because I've been able to spend them with all of you friends. And I mean that. I'm simply saying that there's a time when you have to just say, "Yes, Lord, be it unto me." The call to come to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We were living in Minneapolis. It was a call that I had to embrace and say, "Lord, this want for my life, this is what I'm willing to do." The call to Oak Creek. I had to say, "Yes, Lord, be it unto me." I'm not sure where you're at today, but I do know this. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. And the Bible says the eyes of the Lord, they run to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those that he can show himself mighty and strong on their behalf. Salvation is not going to tear your door off. He's not going to force himself upon you. No more than he was going to force Mary into bearing a child if she did not want to be part of it. You see, the awful things, the bad things in life, they come unwanted and they come uninvited. But the best things in life, they only come when we invite them like Mary and we say, "Lord, be it unto me." God's got great things in store for you. You can trust him. His grace, his love, his salvation, the plan for today, the plan for tomorrow. God's got a plan for your life. And just like Mary, I believe there's many in this room right now that are wanting to say, "Lord, behold your handmaid. I'm yours. I'm not a slave. I'm a bond slave. I stay close to you, Jesus, because you love me so much. I can't imagine being anywhere else other than with you." Will you bow your heads for a moment? Let me pray. Father, thank you for sending your son. Jesus, thank you for coming into this world. Lord, we do not know what tomorrow holds, but you knew all along. And the Bible says, you set your face aflint towards Jerusalem. Nothing would turn you aside. No thoughts, no friends. When Peter tried to talk you out of the cross, you understood that was really not even the voice of Peter. And you said, "Get behind me, Satan. I'll have no part of this." You stayed right on path. You stayed true to the mission. And Lord, we're so excited that we can have a new life in you, that we can accept the plans of God, the will of God, salvation from the Lord. And Lord, it's so good that we look back and we'll often say, "Why did it take me so long?" Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in the hearts and lives of so many in this room.